Welcome to the Milestone Church Podcast. Whether you are at home, on the road, or at work, we hope you find this message encouraging and helpful for your life. You can watch other messages just like this one on our website at milestonechurch.com/messages.
Well, I want to welcome each and every one of you to Vision Weekend. This is one of those weekends where I get really excited because we get a chance to celebrate all that God has done. And vision is also looking ahead to what He is desiring to do. And it also is not just what He's doing among us collectively, but what I find happens on these weekends as well is that He begins to speak to you. He begins to nudge you. He begins to clarify vision for your own life. And I want to show you this weekend how to connect the dots to joining and partnering with what God's doing and how God begins to join you in your own personal life and what it is that He has for you personally and for your family. And so I want to welcome all those watching at our McKinney campus, our Hazlett campus. Of course, we have many of you joining us online. I've enjoyed over the last several months meeting lots of people who are maybe family members or friends that join us every weekend online. Would you guys put your hands together and welcome everybody that's joining in with us this weekend? So the first thing when you come to Vision is you have to ask the question, where does vision come from? And the fact is, sometimes we can have our own ideas about the future, but vision that we want is vision that comes from God. In fact, we see that God in the Bible would show up in the lives of ordinary people and give them vision for the future that they couldn't see in the natural on their own. The fact is, the closer you get to God and the more you're open to what God has to say, God will begin to clarify and direct you in the direction that He desires for your life. So we know this, God is a visionary God. Now you're like, well, that's like Old Testament people and all these people in the Bible that have all these big moments with God. No, we actually have a promise as well in the New Testament that when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, that God came to dwell on the inside of every human being. One of the promises is that it says your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. So what is the Bible telling us there? That the language of the Holy Spirit, the person of God, as He operates in our lives, He begins to tell us where He wants to take us. So I love these weekends because we begin to think about, what God do you have for my life and what do you want to do among us? Because I believe there's always more vision and more opportunity in God a lot of times than we access. I believe there's way more God wants to do in your life and in my life than a lot of times that we don't just open ourselves up to. Lord, what do you want to do? And so vision moments like this are powerful, but it's also, for those of you that are new, you're like, why do we have a vision weekend? Well, it's also very important for the culture of Milestone Church. Did you know we have about, at all of our campuses, about 1,500 to 2,000 new people at Milestone Church in the last several months. So there's a lot of you that I'm fully aware, you're coming into this culture, and I've always used this analogy. You're eating from the apple pie. How many likes a good apple pie? With some bluebell, praise God. And you're eating from it, and you're like, wow, that tastes really good. But you don't know the recipe. This weekend is about me talking to you a little bit about the recipe that you're experiencing intangibly, and you're like, I like how it tastes. But you don't know what are the intentional things that make it taste that way. We started Milestone Church in a cafeteria in South Keller. There was one weekend where the vision was in jeopardy. It was in major jeopardy. I love to tell the story because we all look so well put together this weekend. I was in a three-piece suit. Church was probably 6 months old, summertime in Texas, burning up hot. I hate hot. The devil lives in hot. I hate it. I was wearing a three-piece suit, I don't know why, in the cafeteria. The controls somehow were controlled by someone other than the people that I had control over. And so there was somebody outside of my control that was controlling the temperature. The devil, probably. It felt like hell in there. And so it was hot. I had a three-piece suit on. And so the people, you know, that were in the back kind of watching, they're like, hey, pastor's starting to sweat. I hate sweat. I mean, if you want to get out of church early, just let me sweat. I'll be like, all right, we're done. Let's go home. And so I'm hot. And they say, man, we better open the doors. Now, we'd already had a bad service because a video announcement was terrible. It broke down, and then we had a bunch of other things go wrong, and I'm sitting before I have to speak. I'm thinking, I don't think I would even go to the church I pastor. I don't think I would come here. I don't even think I would come. If you invited me, I'd be like, I'm out. I don't think I would come here. They opened the back doors, and so they could let a breeze in, but it wasn't just a breeze that came in. A dog came in during my message. I heard jingling. I thought, is there someone's change, you know, but it was the collar on the dog, and the dog ran in, and then one of the ushers chased it down the aisle, threw it out the back door. Woo! I was kind of quick on my feet. Maybe we had three guests that weekend. I was just hoping they stayed, and I said, it takes one level of gifting to draw people to a cafetorium. It's a whole nother level to draw the dogs from the streets. Are you with me? I tell you that because vision, that in fact, I remember that afternoon sitting there thinking, and I mean this, it's funny now, but then I was thinking, I don't know if we can get there. I don't know if we're going to make it. We had very little resource. We had a lot of great options for people in this area. And I just remember sitting there for 2 or 3 hours. You ever had one of those vision gap moments where I know God's called me to this, but I don't think I can make it to where he's called me? Of course, you got to have a good wife in that moment. She was washing dishes, little counter. About 3 o'clock, she looked over the sink and said, you know you're going to have to get over this. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, I think I will. The Bible says where there's no vision, people are unrestrained. The Bible says, again, in another version, where there's no revelation, people cast off constraint. I actually memorized it in the King James Version where it says, where there's no vision, people perish. So a lot of times people think about that verse if they've ever heard it and think, oh, if you don't have vision, then that means you're going to end up in trouble and you're going to have all this pain. Actually, a better look at it, I like even the CEB says this, where there's no vision, the people are out of control. So what we think a lot of times, I'm talking about even in your own life, your own family, whatever it is that you work with or the people you lead, this is important to know. Most people think if I had more capacity, if I had a bigger pie, if I had more resources, if I was more gifted, if I knew more of the Bible, if I was someone who had some special privileges, I'd be a part of something great for God. But there's a disproportionate number of you, and that's why I'm honored to be your pastor, who have said, yes, we have soccer. Yes, we have school. Yes, we have stuff. Yes, we have our hobbies. Yes, we have our lake house. Yes, we have da-da-da-da-da-da. But we're going to make sure that we seek his kingdom. We're going to make sure that we put the big rock in first, and that's the kingdom of God. And so with our busy, filled lives, God, how do I prioritize you with my life? I want to show you some kingdom things, give you a little look back and a little look forward. Watch this with me.
As we are celebrating and looking ahead for this Vision Weekend at Milestone Church at all of our campuses, those joining us online, I wanted to start by just saying what a joy it is to be your pastor. I want to say that up front because I consider myself, Brandy and I as well, just consider ourselves so blessed to have the opportunity to be a part of your lives and to be a part of what God's doing in our church.
It's true. It's what we prayed and hoped to see when we planted Milestone. And at the same time, it's far more amazing than we could have ever imagined. You know, our vision from day one has been reaching people and building lives. From a handful of people in a middle school cafeteria to where we are today, seeing hundreds of people baptized every year.
Physical locations have changed, but the vision has remained the same. And I want to tell you, thank you to all of you who have sacrificed for someone else to meet Jesus. Someone many times that you didn't even know. But I do know along the way as well that there are many of us that are still praying for friends and family. And many times we don't even know how God's already working and making space for them.
It's true. Every time we've opened seats, more people have gotten saved. A lot of you are sitting in those seats today and your life has been changed. But the thing I love about you is that it's not just about opening more seats, but that every time we do, you show up strong and you invite people, you take care of people, you connect with others, you show them the heart of God and how much He loves them. And honestly, that's what makes the difference.
So true. It's not just about more space, it's about the hearts of people like you that love people, serve people, that are generous towards people. I love the atmosphere because it's that atmosphere that people connect to and then they meet Jesus and their lives are changed for eternity. It's about reaching people and building lives. And over the last few years, though we started our Hazlett campus and we've been growing our McKinney campus, we've been intensely focused on expanding our Keller campus. And I want to say thank you to every single one of you for your generosity in helping us expand our Keller campus. Your generosity was overwhelming in this project, but also want to tell you, your giving has made a difference. But I want to tell you something exciting. These next 20 years will not just be about opening more seats, but it'll be opening more campuses.
You know, just like our Hazlett and our McKinney campuses, our future focus is going to bring Jesus, the mission, the DNA, the values of Milestone to surrounding communities, to their cities, to their neighborhoods. We hear people ask all the time, is there a church like Milestone in my city? And more, as we expand into the surrounding region, we're going to be able to say yes to that question.
So I want to give you a practical update. McKinney is seeing incredible growth, over 35%. We have a campus in Hazlett that's doing tremendous. Moved from the middle school to the high school, and then we started some pop-up services in Argyle with our Christmas services in Prepare. We own land in Justin, and we know that we're going to see God do something significant there. But I have something really exciting to share. I want to tell you about something that is just really a God miracle. Our Hazlett campus, we officially own a building now in Hazlett, approximately 45,000 square feet. It's 15 acres. We're going to build an 800-seat worship center, and we are right now starting the process of designing it and getting ready to do the renovation. Our tentative target and hopeful move-in is fall of 25. I want to talk to you about something new, something that we're going to do annually and get ready for this year. Our annual legacy offering is coming up this December. We have a goal of $6 million, and this is going to allow us to begin the expansion in Hazlett, but it's also the first $1 million is going to outreach. I don't know if you paid attention to everything that happened over the last few weeks. We called it Serve Week. And if you saw the impact on Title I schools, we want to keep reaching more of those Title I schools. The impact that's made at a children's home where we see the story of an impact on a family and kids, we want to start expanding to take care of multiple of those type homes, to veterans, to widows. Our community's better. Serve projects that involve skilled labor that are helping veterans with wheelchair ramps. All of these hundreds of projects and thousands of people, we have not just become a bigger church, we have a bigger heart. So you say, Pastor, this has been an exciting vision weekend. What are you asking me to do? Well, I'm asking you to do what I've always asked you to do, to pray and ask God, God, what do you want to do through me? Come before God, pray as a couple, ask God what He would have you to do. And I'm asking you to begin to prepare now. We're not taking up an offering this weekend, but I want you to make this a prayer point. I want you to make it part of your goals for this year. And in December, we're all as a church family, every campus, every person online, we're going to bring our best and believe that God's going to do something amazing and continue to work through our spiritual family. And I know that as we hear from God, do what He tells us to do, we're going to meet this need and we're going to keep on reaching people and building lives and expanding, ultimately, Jesus' kingdom. Milestone Church is just one of the vehicles, but it's about Jesus being lifted up in our region.
Some exciting stuff in there. And there's an exciting part of vision, and that's the what part of vision. So we've given you several what's. We've showed you what we were able to do at Serve Day. We were able to show you what we're doing in terms of expansion. But I want to spend my final few moments, especially for those of you that are new, but even all of you that have been a part, the fact is we have to continually remind ourselves of the how. I want to share with you a Bible story that's been an anchor story and an anchor concept really for over 20 years here at Milestone that I've brought us back to over and over, because in my early 20s, it was just massive revelation for me. And I want to help you connect to what we are doing is clear, but how people experience it is important. It's the story of Ruth. Ruth touches a major cultural thing in our world today. You're like, how? Well, the story goes in Ruth, I love it, because it says that in the time when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So people are hungry, and what's interesting is Naomi and Elimelech, the patriarchs, if you will, they leave Bethlehem to go to Moab looking for bread. Bethlehem, actually, it's kind of ironic because Bethlehem means the house of bread. There was no bread in the house of bread, just like my house, there's no bread. They left there. They left the house of bread, went to Moab. No one really, that if you understood culturally, it'd be like, why would you leave the house of bread to go to Moab? They're looking for food. So they take with them their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. When they get there, the sons marry Moabite wives. There's only one problem. All the men die. Leaves behind the mother-in-law and her two daughter-in-laws. And they're thinking about going back home. And on the journey there, the mother-in-law, I love this part of the story too, because sometimes when you talk about relationships, if people have been injured in relationships, there's like, oh, there's always an angle. No, I'm going to tell you what is so powerful in our culture today is when you have people who understand we serve a relational God, who understands how God wants to do something in someone's life with no agenda. That it's mind-blowing to people that there's people that actually care. Naomi, I love it. She says to the daughter-in-law, it's probably best you don't go with me. And Orpah, one daughter-in-law, kissed her and left. But there's another word when it comes to this daughter-in-law, Ruth. She clung to her. It's a covenantal word. You may not know much about the story of Ruth, but at a wedding, you may have heard what happened in that moment. She said, I'm supposed to be with you. Man, that's strong language in the Bible, by the way. We are a culture consumed with what? I need more things, and I need them quick. God's way more concerned with who. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You show me who you're around and the culture that you're in, you will absorb that culture and you will value what's in it. And so we struggle a little bit with the strength of the language that Ruth had. She said, I'm going where you go. Your people will be my people. And she clung to her, and as a result, what happened is she finds this one named Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, who they have this son Jesse, who this son Jesse has this son named David, and this son of David, Jesus, is connected to the lineage of David. What am I saying? We live in a world today that minimizes the who. A lot of times, yes, it's God. You know, religious people, God bless them. They're like, no, it's God. Of course it's God. But did you know a lot of times this almighty, powerful God, when he wants to distribute something in your life, will use the distribution channel of a person? The first thing is we search a lot for food, but God's trying to place us in family. That's what you feel here. This message, this culture, this environment. We're looking for food, but God says, no, I want to place you in family. Can I give you a statistic for a minute? And I've done a lot of research to determine what's the exact number, but it's estimated that somewhere around 400 people a day move to the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. We're not the only church. There's some great churches, but there is something that as I'm not talking about performance, I'm talking about heart, I'm talking about stewardship. Lord, we have a stewardship somehow that they are leaving the house of bread looking for bread. They are in a search. We are a culture of searchers. And a lot of people come here searching for food, better housing, better economy, but they're searching. You may be here searching. You're like, I never would have chose here. How'd I end up here? Well, you were searching. Better house, better job, better food, better food, better food, better food. And God said, no, I got an intersection for you, a family. So what we're seeing, we saw it last weekend, 90 people at all our campuses get water baptized in one weekend. That's just 1 month. They were looking for food, and God said, I want to make you part of my family. I want to make you part of my family. And so we see that happening over and over. By the way, being lost is not just not knowing Jesus. There's a lot of people lost in life. You know, sheep get lost. And so there are lost people that don't know Christ, but there's a lot of people just lost. They don't understand how the world works. They don't have a purpose. They don't have friends. They don't have relationships. They don't have connectivity. And we've made this our how. Jesus wants you in his family. He doesn't just want you having a content distribution connection. You can get that on your iPhone. You need family. So people are looking for food, but he says, I want them to find family. The second thing is, I pretty much said it there when I gave you those list of characters. Our destiny is tied to our relationships. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Who you hang around, you will absorb the culture of the environment of where you are. And so we believe this is a priority to help people get connected to the relationships that are going to help them walk out who God's called them to be. There's five things I want to show you that we can only find in spiritual family. It's the church, but it's the expression of the church, the how. The first thing is the multifaceted image of Christ. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but we're called his body. In today's world, if you step up and say, hey, I want to give you five ways to have a body by God, everybody's like, hey, I'm taking notes. Six ways to get your own personal vision. We live in the most individualized culture in the history of the world, and yet everybody's hungry. Everybody's still hungry. Why? Because the principles of the Bible demand that you walk your faith out in a relational context. We are called his family. We are called his body. Ephesians 3:10 actually says that the multifaceted wisdom of God, that the world needs to see God. You know what our world thinks? Well, the only way we're going to do that is fill them in a stadium and preach them to death. But the word of God says the multifaceted wisdom of God is made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. I talked to a guy the other day. He said, well, I just live my life. I live my faith. I love God. I just do it private. I was like, whoa, brother. You need to make sure you're worshiping the God of this book. Because, yes, it's personal, but it's not private. Because you don't just enter into an individualized version of a God you make up yourself. You come into a family God who then places you in those relationships. And here's the reality. I don't know if you ever thought about this. You're like, I want to show Jesus to my children. Well, you are not the body of Christ. You can exhibit Christ-like characteristics, but there's a dimension of who Jesus is that is seen in his collective whole. Multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multiple backgrounds. The only place on planet Earth where you can see a multifaceted, beautiful picture of what God looks like is placed in that family. That's where you see it. The second thing is personal growth. Well, I'm just trying to grow by myself. Well, you can't grow by yourself because you can't live the New Testament by yourself. It's one another's. It's love each other. It's get over offenses. By myself, I feel really humble. I'm the most humble person you've ever met. Then I had four kids. You know, the older your kids get too, by the way, they like to tell you your inadequacies. It's a humbling experience for those of you that have young kids. The reality is we're all humble by ourselves. So why does he put us together? So we can actually learn how to exhibit the characteristics of Christ through relationships. The third thing is generational transfer. Mobs of people can't transfer to the next generation, but families, the family God, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's a generational transfer. What we see happening right now in our church, I want all of you to know, the world is talking about the next generation. Everywhere you turn, what about our kids? What about this? What are we going to do? Well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Kids, I mean, I hear people all the time, I wouldn't want to raise kids in the world coming up. As if there's no hope. But what we're seeing happen in our very midst in our church is an absolute amazing move of God among the next generation. I had a guy the other day who heard about our super series where there's 2,000 kids gathered on a Wednesday night. Not a conference, not church vans. That's church. That's Wednesday night church. I had a guy say, well, you got a good youth pastor. I said, well, I got several good youth pastors. And there's great leadership there. And there was a great generational transfer from Tyron, from Betsy, to Kendall, to Blake, to the different transfer. There was a great transfer there, and they're very gifted and they're amazing, but it's not based on the gifting of people. It's based on the fact that young people don't want to come to another cool event. They want to come home. They want to come into a home where there's the environment of a home. There's generational transfer in spiritual family. The next thing is healthy process for pain. My dad had a colon resection surgery that went bad, and his colon leaked and his kidneys were failing, and I spent 6 months in ICU. I've been a pastor for almost 30 years, and I've been in a lot of hospital rooms, but I was in ICU for 6 months, not just as a pastor, but as a son. And I began to see a dynamic. After you go there a long time, you see a dynamic. I began to see the difference. And I'd seen it over the years in people who process pain alone and people who process it with people that they have in their lives. One of the things that I'm always the most proud of all of you about is the way you love each other. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I've heard about this happened, that happened, what are we going to do? And because of the way you are, because this is family, you're already there. You're already there. Loving, serving, taking care of one another. That's what a family does. And I'm going to tell you, I've said this for years. You are building your relationships today for your pain of tomorrow. It will all come our way. And people who don't have spiritual family process it differently. Number five is genuine belonging. We live in a lonely world because people are after things and never think about who. Loneliness is an epidemic. I don't have time to give you all the statistics, suicide rates, anxieties, problems, challenges, isolation. You see, when we left the house of bread looking for food, we displaced ourselves. So we've lost the anchors, the relationships, and grandma and granddad and all these different things. And what we have is we're around more, it's called crowded loneliness. We're around more people than we've ever been around, but we don't feel like we have anybody that would show up in our pain. And so real belonging is what happens in family. Unconditional love and acceptance in a place where you have this is how God made us. To give love, to receive love, to be a reciprocator in the life of someone else. Those are things that happen in spiritual family. I want to close with this before I pray for you. I've given you some things today that I want you to know. And I hope you'll listen to those, and I hope you're excited about those things that I want you to know. Opportunities we have as a church and places God is leading us. But I'm thankful that you are a church family too, that it's not just about the things that I want you to know. But I love the way you care about those things because they impact people. I love the way you care about people. And so when you hear all these thousands of kids or, you know, quite honestly, having that many kids sometimes is challenging. Parents are like, man, that's a lot of kids. That's this. That's why culture trumps size. I do realize when you talk about expansion, people are like, man, I don't know about that. I don't know about expansion. I don't know about growing. Well, families grow. I just need to let you know that. My family grew. We had kids. Then my daughter brought a hairy leg brother named Jansen to the house. Then they had a baby, and he said, Dad died this week, by the way. I thought he might say Papa first, but... And then they have their kids, and then they'll have their kids, and that's what families do. But the reality is, it's not about the fact that families just grow and there's more people added to the family. It's still that culture of caring. You hear that story about the students, and I love that. I always love to tell you the stories of these are real people. In that group of people are somebody's children, somebody's grandchildren. And so there is a girl named Olivia who got saved. She got baptized last year. She brought her friend Nivea, and then they brought their friend Quinn to Super Series. Quinn, never been to church in her life, came during Super Series, carrying stress and burdens. She gave her life to Christ. I had a friend of mine, part of our church, Randy. I came to the first week or second week, went to the back, a whole crowd of middle school kids worshiping Jesus. And I'm just watching, and they're worshiping and singing, and God's moving there. And I look over, my friend Randy's crying. He's crying. I looked at him and I said, this is not a conference. This is church. He said, I've never seen anything like it. I said, let me tell you why. Because they're not coming to an event. They're our kids. They're our children. They come here. You matter. Every single one of them. They feel that in the environment. So I'm asking you to continue to care, because there is in that crowd the one that somebody cares about. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Prepare and get ready. I said it in the video. I'll say it again. You know, who knows when you think about God, you're moving. Young people are being touched. God, you're moving in the earth. People are 400 people a day are moving to Dallas, Fort Worth. What are you doing, God? Well, here's what you'll find. As you'll seek first the kingdom, and you'll think, okay, in December, who knows what God might do, what he might do through you. Have you ever thought about this, that seek first the kingdom? That between now and December, there could be a business deal, a situation, an opportunity, a resource that God might be actually preparing for his kingdom, that you are his distribution mechanism. Lord, here I am. I'm a kingdom person. I want everybody just to bow their heads. I'm a kingdom person. You have blessed us with the things, Lord, but we want to seek first your kingdom. And so we just want you to know we're a conduit of your grace. Whether it is a countertop at a children's home, or it's giving our time or the resources as we get ready for this December offering, Lord, you're bringing children home to you. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I said it earlier. Just simply say, Jesus, I submit my life to you. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You rose from the dead. He wants to bring you into his family. He wants to be the greatest father you've ever known. Say, Jesus, I accept you today. And if you did, I'm going to pray and ask that you would let us know. Maybe come to 101. Come forward at the end of the service. But second of all, Lord, we receive today a stewardship of what you're doing in the earth. And Lord, we say, here we are. We're available. And I pray that businesses in our church, families in our church, Lord, as we just come together in our families and we pray and we move toward December and think about, Lord, later this year, Lord, even as we prepare our hearts, you're moving among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If there's anything we can do to help you in your walk with Jesus, please don't hesitate to reach out through our website at milestonechurch.com. And if you found this podcast helpful, leave a review on the podcast app or your favorite podcast platform. We hope you have a great week.